IGTV.
Boy, after Mark talked, I just felt like we should all go home. I came up to Wes. You saw me come up to Wes. I said, dude, I don't know what's next, but we all have to take a break and regroup. Nobody can follow Jesus on the podium. No, listen, I saw you this morning. Everybody was eating breakfast, and you were sitting on a stool, drinking coffee and typing like crazy. Well, God was operating your fingers, man. I felt like, I don't want to get weird here, it felt like Christ hijacked you and was reliving the agonies and the glories of the crucifixion. I mean, that was so freaking powerful. That's one of the most powerful things I've ever heard. I didn't even know how anybody was going to get, I didn't even want to come up here. What am I going to say? I felt like we should all just go home and regroup, you know? And that was it. To me, that was the mountaintop. But here we go. On we continue. But that was incredible. And yeah, so thank you for that. You took me on a trip. I don't know about anybody else, but I was just like with Christ on the cross, you know? I was just, the whole world was gone while you were speaking. And that was God speaking through you. But I give also, we live in the relative, as we've been saying here. So honor to whom honor is due. I know the words didn't come by accident, so thank you for that. That was a trip. Never heard anything quite so powerful. And then, Kim, it horrifies me, the evil that people endure. I was so naive growing up, because I grew up in a beautiful household and a very peaceful place, and I had stability and everything else. And in a lot of ways, I was unprepared for damaged people, you know? I thought everybody was like me. I thought everybody, you know, watched Gilligan's Island while eating Mrs. Paul's fish sticks, you know? Why was I in for a rude awakening? I know the theme song of, you know, Green Acres and Petticoat Junction and Gilligan's Island and Hogan's Heroes and I Dream of Jeannie and Beverly Hillbillies. I can sing every one of them to you. That's my childhood. Other people hide from evil. So, yeah, it's a grace of God that you're here, Kim, you know, so thank God for that. And all the people in your path that God put in your path to bring you to this place, I'm thankful for all those people. A lot of people thank me and they say, oh man, you know, your work really brought me to the truth. And I say, the people I want to thank are all the people before me that brought you to this place. And all the people after that are going to perfect your understanding. It's a train of people that... And it was so sweet talking about these women that sat with you, you know. The women that sat with you and comforted you. And also Wes sat with you and comforted you. And I'm so thankful. And when you say we're your family, that got to me too. You know, that got to me. We are family. That's why we're here together. And that's why when we leave, you know, today, it's always like I wish I was a solar cell. I could store this up as long as possible. So I'm always feeling like, what am I supposed to say up here? But I'm gonna forge ahead, since you didn't end the conference after Mark. If I'd been in charge, they would have been it. I would have said, I'm sorry to all the speakers, including myself. That's the mountaintop. We're all out of here. Just go home and reflect on that for a week. But anyway, onward we go. I've spoken on this before, but every time I do, I see something different and I say something different. So I trust that there will be something new here for everybody. I'm still leveled after that talk, so I'm not the same guy. You know, when you hear about the armor of God, you think of the Christian version that all these Christians are equipped. And I had a friend named Daniel Wright, and boy, he was a Christian. And I encountered him in the early days, back in the early 90s, and he was a church guy. And I remember he had a t-shirt, and it was a Christian t-shirt, and it had a picture of a soldier in armor with the whole gear on like this, and it said, "The armor of God." And it was, something seemed wrong to me at the time, and I didn't know what it was until I did a study on the armor of God. Gabe knows Dan Wright. And I found out that it's in the statement itself. This is the armor of God. What does that tell you? There's another way to say that. It's God's armor. This armor is not ours. That's revelation number one. It's not our armor. You should know that by the armor of God. And yet every Christian thinks that they take this armor on individually and they're equipped now as soldiers and they're going to go out to battle. Who's going to go out to battle against Satan? You are? You're going to go, well, I got the armor on. Hey, this ain't David and Goliath in the Valley of Elah. This is Rat Face. This is the big boy. You're going to fight the stratagems of the adversary with your little rinky-dink armor. This is the armor of God. And I'm here to tell you today about the armor of God and what it protects you against. Most people are afraid of Satan's frontal attacks, but I got news for you. Satan doesn't have any more frontal attacks left. Frontal attacks don't work because God turns everything into good. How frustrating is that for Satan? Did Satan not think that when he was putting Christ on the cross that he was ending the plan? Yes, he did. He's powerful, but he's a bit short-sighted. He didn't realize that by crucifying Christ, he was ensuring his own conciliation to God, his own reconciliation with God in the end. Had no idea. And so Satan is very short-sighted. All evil is short-sighted, and all evil overplays its hand. We see this today in the political world, and we see it in the spiritual world. Evil will overplay its hand, and it is very short-sighted. But Satan did come to the realization that everything I do, God turns to good. Everything I do, God turns to good. And we know that the crucifixion of Christ was not done in a corner. Jesus Christ despoiled principalities and powers, making a show of them openly, right? Is that Colossians or Ephesians? Want to read them both? It's Colossians. And so Satan cannot... How do you fight something that was so done so obviously? This, you lie about it. You distract. Rodney, this plays right into your talk about the distraction. Christ and his work is over here. Nothing can be done about it. And there's a spotlight on it. And it's the glory of God. And it was done so obviously. And this is what Christ did. But Satan is over here handing out pamphlets to another show, to a fancier show, to a systemized deception, to an organization that will make you feel welcome, that will make you feel happy. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. It's a deception of deflection. It's a deception of misdirection. If God is at the Natural History Museum, Satan is passing out tickets to the Air and Space Museum. He just wants to get you to a different place. And he's engaging you with a new marvel that is pure distraction. And the armor of God does not protect us against Satan's frontal attacks. Because as John says, it's Peter that says, our adversary, Satan, walks about as a roaring lion. And what's the most important word in that statement?
As.
Correct. As a roaring lion. But a lot of people believe him, believe that he is a roaring lion, and that's a lie, isn't it? Satan has been defanged, declawed, and he has no more vital power to destroy. But he has one thing left, and he's the father of what?
Lies.
And now he has resorted. He knows he has no frontal power left. He has no ability to turn God against you or you against God because of that damn verse to him. He looks at it that way. All things work together for good. And so there's nothing he can do that you need to be protected from. There's nothing he does outwardly. There's nothing he can do to your person, to your body that you need protected from. And none of this armor is for that. None of this armor is to protect you from things Satan can do to you, because every one of those things works out for good. Every single one of them. Kim, even your terrible experiences. You wouldn't be here if it weren't for those things. Somehow, the chain of events that lead to every event. Everything is made up of smaller events. So now I'm going to go over every piece of the armor. Now that you know, I'll say it again, the armor is not your armor, it's God's. You don't put it on in an active sense, you put it on in a passive sense. You come to the realization that it's true. This armor, God protects you whether you realize it or not. This is one of those truths for the body of Christ, whether you realize it or not, you are protected by the armor of God. It's God's armor, never yours. And it doesn't protect you against Satan's frontal attacks, but from his lies, because Satan's lies are so powerful. Do you know that people die in their sleep from dreams? You can have a dream that's so real. You wake up in a sweat, your heart is palpitating, right? And you wake up and it's like you're so distraught, you're breathing heavy, and like I say, your pulse is racing. You've been in bed doing nothing. The mind is so powerful, and you believe that something is happening that's not happening, like the Matrix. And so Satan can fill you with so much anxiety, so many lies about whether or not you're right with God, or whether or not you're going to make it to the finish line, or whether or not you're justified, whether or not that next sin you're going to do is the one that's going to kick you out of the body of Christ. And Satan is the one that makes you look in the mirror. You're a saint? Lie, 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 lie. Where do you see these pieces? These pieces are beautiful because every one of them protects you against Satan's lies. For the rest, my brethren, verse 10, Ephesians 6. Be invigorated in the Lord and in the might of His strength. I have that word His circled so many times it shows four pages through my Bible. And it shows, oh, there it is, six pages, seven pages. His strength, the might of His strength. Put on the panoply, concordances, I hate that word. Who knows what a panoply is? It's a full armor. Put on the full armor of God to enable you. I will say this briefly, that word put on is in the middle voice. There's three voices of the Greek verb, the active, the passive, and the middle. Whenever I did this presentation, I used to have an assistant up there. I used to have a red umbrella, and I would demonstrate the middle verb form. If this was put on, if I had someone next to me with an umbrella, if this was put on, if this was the active form of the verb, this is how my friend Dan Wright looked at it. This is how his t-shirt pictured it. It would be grabbing the umbrella from my assistant here, grabbing it and putting it on myself. That's put on the armor of God. That's the active voice. This is not in the active voice. And neither is it in the passive voice. In the passive voice, I would stand here doing nothing, and my assistant with the umbrella would come over and put that protection over my head. That's the passive voice. This is not the passive voice. I will send my invisible assistant back over here. And now I will demonstrate the middle voice. It's a very sensitive voice. It's a very subtle, nuanced voice. And it's this. I'm standing here, and I come under the influence of it. It exists, you see. It already exists. And I come over the influence of something that already exists. Another way to say that is you come to a realization of the truth. When you come to a realization of any truth, does the truth become the truth at that point?
No.
No, it's always the truth. Truth is the truth. This armor of God, I'm telling you, is now operative on your behalf. Just like grace is operative on your behalf. Paul says, you fall out of grace. How the heck can I fall out of grace if grace is continually operating on my behalf? It's that grace is over here, and you're doing your thing over there, even while grace is standing there rolling its eyes and going, oh, God. You know, it's covering you, but you don't know it. You haven't come to a realization of it. To enable you to stand up to the stratagems of the adversary. A stratagem, within that word, is deceit. A stratagem is a method. I think the Greek word is methodia. But in here is this element of trickery. A stratagem. There's trickery here. For it is not ours to wrestle with blood and flesh. Oh boy, how often do we have to remind ourselves of this? It's not ours to wrestle against blood and flesh, but with the sovereignties, authorities, the world mights of this darkness, with the spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials. The evil forces of wickedness among the celestials don't show up as evil spiritual beings. They show up as your sister, or your mother, or your brother, or your friend, or your coworker, and they want to eat you alive by flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You have to look past the flesh and blood adversary to the true adversary. But then worse adversaries are the ones that lie to you through other people. Again, these adversaries that I'm talking about, these spiritual forces of wickedness among the celestials, they lie to humanity, but they don't come down looking like Darth Vader. with, you know, cutting you down with lightsabers. They speak their lies into institutions that invite you to go to their organizations, and they bring you into the church, they bring you into an ecclesiastical organization that looks so beautiful, and you feel so accepted and loved, and the warmth is there, the acceptance is there, and the donuts and the coffee are the best. And that's how the lies come. And it comes through flesh and blood and sugar and saturated fats and everything like back there. But these are holy donuts back here. We have sanctified donuts. But the donuts in the Christian religion are evil donuts. Yeah, they're adversarial donuts.
Our sugar gives life.
Our donuts give life. Their donuts take it away. Therefore, take up the panoply of God. Take up the panoply of God, the full armor of God, to enable you to withstand the wicked day. We're in the wicked day. We're in a day that's full of lies. Lies, 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 lies. The political world, the Christian world. The only world where we don't have lies is in here, man. We have been together for 3 days. And there are no lies. And there's nothing hid. And everybody that's come up to this podium has exposed themselves. Because they're exposing themselves to their friends. And we're already exposed before God. We know that. We're all naked before God. And we trust each other so much that we can be naked and exposed with each other. And that is a beautiful thing. And I do it every day when I broadcast my show. I want to be transparent. I want you to know me. And I've known you, the ones who I haven't met before this weekend. I'm so grateful that we don't have to lie to each other. But we're in a wicked day. We're in a wicked day. Stand then, girded about your loins with truth. What is the truth protection against? Lies. This is proof then. When Paul says, girded about your loins with truth, this is proof that the enemy is lies. With the cuirass of righteousness put on. A cuirass, the King James will say breastplate there. A cuirass, it goes all the way around you. A breastplate does pretty good unless somebody's shooting you from the back. Breastplate does no good. I had my breastplate on, yeah, but they shot you from the back. A cuirass goes all the way around. It's a weird word. I had to look it up. What the hell is a cuirass? It's a piece of armor that goes all the way around you. And what's the cuirass? The cuirass of righteousness. This is God's statement concerning you. This is Romans chapter 3. A righteousness of God is manifest, yet a righteousness of Jesus Christ through Jesus Christ's faith. And we are reckoning a man to be righteous, to be just by faith apart from works of law. This is God's declaration that through Christ and the cross, you have been declared righteous. And you need that protection. You need that breastplate. Why? Because every time you turn around, Satan is going to make you doubt that you're righteous. Every time you turn around, he's going to remind you that you're human, remind you that you're still sinning, and we do, even though we know we're justified. But Satan's going to turn that against you so fast. And I'm telling you, if you listen to that voice for a second, you're going to go down. You're going to start on the path of going down. It's going to be a waking nightmare. And you're going to start sweating, and your heart's going to start beating, and you're going to start smoking and eating and drinking and stressing because you're believing a freaking lie. It is not true. You are righteous. God has declared you to be righteous. Who are you going to listen to? God or the pastor? Christ or the pastor? Who are you going to listen to? God or your so-called friend? The cuirass of righteousness. God has declared me righteous. And you stand under that. And it protects you against the accusation that you're not. And your feet sandaled with the readiness of the evangel of peace. The evangel of peace is the conciliation. Peace, conciliation. God is conciliated to the world. He has conciliated the world to himself. And that helps us when we deal with some people in this world. It's very difficult to deal with the people in the wicked day. And yet we're standing in the wicked day. And one of the things that helps us to stand in the wicked day is to know that God is conciliated to the world. I know that everybody out there is, God's conciliated to them, and there's going to come a day when they're going to be conciliated to Him. And I have to suffer through my initial abrasive reaction to people. And I know that my initial reaction to people is sometimes very bad. I'm a good driver. I live in South Florida. I'm an aggressive driver, but I'm a safe driver. But I can't stand other drivers. They're just all there. Everybody's a bad driver except me, you know? I don't understand it. Every one of them. They're worse than not. And it's just, I get so irritated that I have to settle down. But don't, see, there's a place where Satan could say, you're a member of the body of Christ. Every 5 seconds, you're cursing a guy you don't even know. You're cursing a guy you don't even know. And that's when it could start working on you. Yeah, you're right, I am. But God's not counting that sin against me. And I recommend you do what I do. When I sin and when I know it's something bad, I just say, that's why Jesus died on the cross. I thank Jesus for dying on the cross for that. And then I move on. That's it. Oh, Satan hates it when you move on. Oh, he hates it when you move on from feeling guilty. I feel guilty for this long. And then I know we don't have to confess our sin. That's the circumcision truth. I do it anyway because it makes me feel better. I say, well, okay, that was bad, but thanks for dying for that one. Boom, it's done. I put it away. It's done. And then I put on, come under the influence of the cuirass of righteousness. I've been made righteous. God's at peace with me, and he's at peace with that asshole. Oh, whoops, I did it again. Yeah. With all taking up, as verse 16 now, with all taking up the large shield of faith. The large shield of faith. This is, the faith is, of course, I'm coming back full circle here. I talked about that on Saturday, believing what you don't see. An assurance concerning things which are not being observed. A conviction concerning things which are not being observed. And the reason that's important is because we don't observe these pieces of armor. We don't observe the cuirass of righteousness, the sandals, you know, sandaled with the evangel of peace. And the evangel of peace, of course, is not only the conciliation, but the salvation of all. That's the good news. It's part of the good news. We will be able to extinguish all the fiery arrows of the wicked one. Fiery arrows. If you have an arrow, why put fire on it? Satan is a pyrotechnic master. Fiery arrows. Ooh, the fiery arrows of the wicked one. I mock him. He deserves to be mocked and ridiculed. As you know, I sometimes mispronounce his name. Instead of calling him Satan, I call him Satan, just to mock him. People say, Martin, you ought not do that. Not even the angels bring a railing accusation against Satan. Who's the angel that wouldn't? Michael, when they're arguing over the body of Moses. What scripture is that in? Is that Jude or something? Not even Michael would bring a railing accusation against Satan. Yeah, well, that's Michael the archangel. He's not in the body of Christ. I'm in the body of Christ. I have more authority than Michael the archangel. Come on. I have more protection than Michael the archangel. I am in the body of Christ. I am part of Christ. Michael the archangel may tremble before Satan, but I don't. Amen. And the only way I can say that is because I know that I have the sheen of protection. And God loves that confidence. Remember I said faith? Part of faith is taking God for granted. And relying, and sometimes I just like to test that. I'm not testing God. I'm just enjoying the freedom. I'm taking a step in it. And I'm not afraid of the adversary because I know all he has left is lies. I believe this passage. He has stratagems left. You can't hit me with any. You can't hit me because God turns it into good. Nothing can come to me, Satan, unless God sends it my way. You're just an adversary. You're just an intermediary, and you're a liar. And everything you're trying to trick me with now, like, oh, you better not mispronounce my name. Why, Satan? Because you're going to do something? I'm tempted to not say what I'm saying. I'm tempted to be scared. I'm tempted to think that I'm doing a foolish thing because I know how powerful Satan is. Jesus said to his disciples, Satan desires to sift you men like wheat. Whew! If I knew the power of this being, would I be talking like this? Yeah, because I know the power of the being on top of that being. Amen. To enable you to extinguish the fiery arrows of the wicked one. My favorite movie, The Wizard of Oz. I can't let a talk pass. I haven't mentioned The Wizard of Oz once in this conference. I'm going to remedy that right now, ladies and gentlemen. The Wizard of Oz, the big face, I'm the great and powerful Oz. And you had the fire, gas. It was gas. It was a gas fire. The cowardly lion didn't like it. He was totally fooled. The cowardly lion didn't have the armor of God on. He turned heel and jumped out the window, if you recall. They were all shaking in their shoes, except one little creature. Toto. Remember Toto? Toto goes behind a curtain, pulls the curtain back, and who's the great and powerful Oz? Some little old man flipping some switches. But he has a hell of a pyrotechnic demonstration. His light show's good. His sound show's good. It's a Hollywood act. It's a wall. It's a Hollywood wall. Fiery arrows. Ooh. Satan's got fiery arrows. He walks out as a roaring lion, but he's been exposed and defeated. And the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation is the salvation of all. I'm saved. I've been saved. I am being saved and I will be saved. And the whole world will be saved. And the sword of the Spirit. That's the only offensive thing here. Everything else is defensive against lies. The sword of the Spirit is a declaration of God. That goes back to what I was saying earlier. You have to believe what God says about you. A declaration of God. The Scripture is your best friend when you go to the right places of Scripture. Our Scriptures are found in the letters of Paul. The letters of Paul, those are the Scriptures that are written to us. And it's those Scriptures in Romans that talk about how we're accounted righteous by God through faith in the blood of Christ and His death, entombment, and resurrection. So don't fear the reaper. Don't fear the adversary, because every day we walk under the protection of God. And it's there always. It never can go away. I just pray with Paul, and I pray for you and myself at the same time, that we come to more and more of a realization of that truth. Thank you very much. Yeah. Thank you.